Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're continuing our series on judging our thoughts and intentions of the heart. And so we want to kind of go over some, do a little review right here and go from there. Judging our thoughts and intentions of our heart. Let's turn to our foundation text again, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and let's look at the 12th verse. Hebrews chapter 4, looking at verse 12. Judging our thoughts and intentions of our heart. For the word of God is living, some say quick, some say alive. Mm-hmm. All of that is good. It is living, it is alive. Quick means to be alive. And by the way, alive means, and it, not only is it alive, but it is constantly active. So it is living and it is active, or some say powerful. That's what that word active means. It has power, operative, energizing, effective power. So not only is it living, it is powerful and active, energized, and sharper than any two-edged sword. If you go back to the words living and active, and those words living meaning that it's constantly active, and powerful meaning it is operative, energizing, and effective. That's what it does to us, to our spirits. That's why when you are feeling some type of way, life is beating you down, maybe for the day, for the week, or for life. Thank God that we have a power source that as Christians, as believers, as children of God, we can plug into and become energized. Did you almost say every Wednesday after church? I'm for the purpose of the table, I'm talking to Miss Darlene. She'd come in and say, I'm better now. That's why it just mystifies me that more people aren't here. I'm talking who go to Word of Life. I understand duty calls for some, but every single chance that you get, you should be in the house of God. And especially if it's a teaching ministry. Because I was talking to one particular person just a couple of days ago, letting them know the reason that I am the husband I am is not by luck or chance. It's because of the Word of God. It causes one to grow, mature, and really just be one that bring a being that brings glory to God in whatever role or hat you're wearing. It's the Word that does that. And I was telling this particular individual, when you don't get the Word, you don't know what to do. When you don't get the Word, you can't be all that God has you to be. You don't stand a chance. You can't be a good husband. You cannot be. You can't be a good wife. You can't be a dutiful pastor. All of these come from, through, and by, and because of the Word of God. And that's something I've tried to impress upon Word of Life ad nauseum, ad infinitum, for years. Get that Word. Meditate the Word. Ingest the Word that's eating it, and then digest it. Don't spit it back out. Digest it. Gain all the spiritual nutrients from the Word that you can, that you may what? Grow thereby. You know something that I was telling this particular individual? I said, you cannot be. And I thought about it, I was saying those words. I said, you may look at my life and have respect for it as a husband, as you are. And but realize that it happens over time, and there is diligence and perseverance. You must persevere, you must be diligent in getting the Word of God, eating the Word of God, getting the nutrients from the Word of God, and let you grow. Whether it be as a husband and a father, pastor, or whether it be as co-workers, daughter. I mean, your relationship has grown. You all have gotten closer since you all have both matured in the things of God. And I love to hear your testimonies. You may come separate, she may come separate. You know, you may say, not sometimes, and I tell you nothing it does. And this fits right in all of this. Discerning thoughts and intents of the heart. Remember, you weren't here last week, but we started, for those who are here, we started on the real self and the false self. We're going to go back to that. Being real with yourself. And I love when the people of God come to me as a testimony and say, you know what, I was a little sharp with mine, and I needed to tighten that up. Or I was a little sharp, but I love when you admit before God. It's not about coming up. I get to hear to be blessed by the testimony. But that shows you that God is working. You're not trying to avoid. Hey, when you do wrong, own it. That's the Lord working with me on. Just own it. You did wrong. No need to try to skirt and hide it. I already knew that you was going to do it before you was ever born in eternity past. I already knew it. I decided to love you, and I saw all of your faults. Remember, we were foreknowledge. He foreknew us. And know again means to not only know about and know of and have knowledge of, but it means to love and to love and know intimately. He has loved us and he will love us from eternity past throughout eternity future. And that love will never change. So come correct. Just say, well, you know what? I messed up. I didn't do that right. It's not in the not messing up word of life. It's in how you deal with it when the Lord brings you that you did mess up. Are you going to deny it? Are you going to try to skirt the situation and slide around? You're going to slip and slide, peek and hide, and act like it doesn't exist? We got to look at it head on, face on, and say, Lord, I'm out the box. I'm out of pocket right now. And thank you for showing me. Instead of getting all, you know, such a way, that's why it blesses me. You come to me several times. And I love that. And you've grown. You all have grown. And I love that. You're friends. You're closer friends. Your relationship is closer than ever before. The Word of God does that. It energizes. It is active. It's operative. And it is effective. Let's keep reading verse 12. And sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing. The word piercing means to penetrate as far as the division of the soul and spirit. That's how deep the word can go into the core of a human being. That's the point that you want to be making here. The word of God penetrates deeply into the core of the human being. We said don't get hung up on soul and spirit joints tomorrow. But we'll get hung up on that it penetrates into the most deepest core of who we are, and nothing or no one else can get in there like that. That's why the title is Discerning Our Thoughts and Intentions of Our Heart. But the Lord wants this series to do is to realize that the only way we can truly discern our thoughts and intentions of our heart is by the Word of God. Does that make sense? That's really what we want to get to. If you really want to know what's really going on inside, see, the Holy Spirit has to tell you you're not right. Other than that, if you judge you, we're going to always, for the most part, find ourselves not guilty. That ain't no big deal. Mom needs to get over it. But the Holy Spirit said, that's not right. And it might have been okay 5 years ago. Because he may say, well, it ain't that bad. But because Sister Lana prayed that the Lord is calling us, I'm not sure exactly what it was, but the gist was like calling us higher. Because that's always a call in any year, month, day, hour. If you're born again, we ought to never stop, never settle. So that means we're always being called to a higher standard. And so what he might have let you get away with 4 years ago, last week, this week, you don't get on your day. Why? Because I'm calling you up higher. I want you to continue the process of conformation. Amen. Being conformed into the image of his son. That's what all this is about. Yes. It's not about us. I love how he said over and over, it's all about you. All about you. All about you. All about you. It's not how we sing, how good we sing, how bad we sing. It's not even the fact that we're singing per se. Because if it's just singing, then he said we need to bring in more than a song. It makes you think about your worship. Is it just external? Is it just that surface level, spiritual living? And I pray that word of life. I hope that those who do hear this on Wednesday, and I'm praying with me on this, y'all. We may have to start this on Sunday. This is a crucial teaching that needs to be heard. Because there are too many of us living this life, too many of us, meaning Christians, living this life on a surface level. And the scary part is we're content with living surface level spiritual living. And we are satisfied when others compliment us on our surface level living. We actually take those accolades. I know of one, you might know some folks too, that they're supposedly a Christian, but those who know them the closest, you know, they get an F. But those who don't know them, only kind of know them like outward here, they get A's. And they're taking the A's, the accolades, from the folks who barely know them and say, well, hey, I'm a good person because what they say. You have to be honest with yourself. I have to be honest with myself. We have to be honest with ourselves. Honest with yourself before God. Honest with yourself. Hear what I'm saying. Holy Spirit is bringing it, just slowing it down a touch. Be honest with yourself. What that means is when the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth speaks to us about ourselves, we need to be honest with that. We need to accept it. Don't get combative. Don't get, not offensive, defensive. And go to rebuking the devil. Loose here, Satan. And they say, Holy Spirit, you tell him you reading, quote unquote, my mail. You all up in my kitchen. And you telling me that what I need to hear. Yeah. And what you need to be honest with yourself, in that situation would look like, you know what, I know that's been going on. And I haven't really looked at it, haven't dealt with it. And I need to. I need to be honest with myself before God. Because I'm not fooling God, and all I'm doing is hurting myself. I know this is just ABCs of Christian living. It ain't nothing real deep. It is deep, but it's not deep. It's profound, but it's not profound. It's just simple simplicity. But it causes great problems if you're not honest with yourself. Because then the problems that the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you that you need to work on and look at to begin to work on it, if you don't even acknowledge it, there's no hope. But the things he's trying to show you to start working on it, if you don't ever acknowledge it, then you cannot be one who brings God glory. And you are inhibiting, that's not the word I wanted, but you're hindering the conformation process of being made into the image and likeness of his dear son, which is why all this is going on anyway. The goal of sanctification is to be made in the image of his son. He didn't save you just to glorify you. In a sense, I'm talking about skipping sanctification. He saved you, redeemed you, made you righteous, justified you to become a person who is to live out this life of sanctification, set apart. That's where the conformation process begins, right after justification. Well, actually, we can begin it there if you hear what I'm saying. But I'm saying we actually begin to put that into motion through the process of sanctification. Living out this life, looking like the Lord Jesus Christ day by day, hopefully year by year, hopefully you look more and more like Him. So we were talking about being out to the soul. So the Word of God has to penetrate down in there. And when it does penetrate, it's going to let us know what's going on. And thank God He's gracious enough not to let us know all of what's going on all at one time. Because we just couldn't. You should have seen the look on your face. You just shook like you saw a ghost. Yeah. Like, oh no, that's way too much. And thank God He's merciful. Just a little bit here, just a little bit here. And every time He showed me one, I said, Lord, thank You for showing me that. And thank You that You are merciful by just showing me. You're merciful two ways. You're merciful in showing me that. Thank You for showing mercy so that I can work on that. But You're also merciful in not showing me all the other things. Because remember, it's, you know, what's a real sad, scary verse is that our heart is deceitful above all and incurably sick. So anything your heart tells you, man, I know it in my heart. That's a scary statement. We say it all the time. Oh man, I know it in my heart, man. I swear before God, you just sit down before God, quit swearing before God, because you don't know nothing in your heart, and even what you think you know, because it is deceitful above all else, may not be really what you know. Christians should learn to distrust themselves. And let the Lord only lead us. Amen. And if you don't know the two, then Lord, help me to discern Your voice and Your spirit and when You're speaking to me, as opposed to when Satan is speaking to me. And then you speak over yourself. John 10:4-5. John 10:4-5. The voice of a strength that will not follow. We hear, recognize, you know, and in that, let's turn it right quick. Gospel of John, 10th chapter, verse 4. The Gospel of John, the 10th chapter and the 4th verse. Yeah, John. Yeah. I'm sorry. You must just hold your hand up if you don't hear me. I'll repeat it again. Yeah. John chapter 10 and verse 4. Okay. And mother, let me know when you have it. Got it? All right. When he, Jesus talking about the shepherd, when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and that's what that was a custom of the Eastern shepherd, they go ahead of the flock. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. So are we not his sheep? Yes. So you speak over yourself that I know the voice of my shepherd. Verse 5. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. I think what's overlooked in that teaching, you know, I come out of that when I speak that over yourself and so on and so on. That's a good verse to proclaim, Lord, help me to, it's a good prayer to pray to, help me to know your voice, but also, not only to know your, in knowing his voice, you're going to recognize, and I don't think this is brought up enough, the voice of the stranger, because you know his voice so well, hear what I'm saying, you know it so well, that when the stranger speaks, you immediately recognize, hold on, that's not the voice of my shepherd. The problem comes when we don't know the voice of the shepherd that well. You hear what I'm saying? And when you don't recognize it that well, then the voice of a stranger won't sound so strange. Meaning you may follow. There's a chance you may follow. Instead of saying, you know, that's not the Lord. And so through relationships, as you develop your relationship with the Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and you get to become more familiar with them, if you will. And that's all that's done through the Word. That's how we get to know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, is through the Word of God, which reveals Himself to us. Then there's a recognition. There's a recognition. And also there's a greater understanding concerning how dependent we're becoming on the Holy Spirit rather than our own strength. You've truly become weak more and more because you realize that in my own strength, I can do nothing. I, in my own strength, the song says, many times I fail, every time I fail. In my own strength, every time I'm going to fail. We need to be reminded of our shortcomings, our inadequacies, and our weaknesses on a daily basis. Now, churches won't teach that. The certain church won't teach that. You know, they're saying you have a negative confession and things of that nature. But the bottom line is that is a fact. And Apostle Paul said that we are weak, then he is strong. And he was definitely truly a mighty man of faith and power. Arguably the greatest apostle, second only to Jesus Christ, that ever walked the face of the earth. And if he tells you that I glory in my weaknesses, I glory in them, that the power of Christ may rest up on me. Recognize, be honest with that, fits all that, fits right in there. Recognize your limitations. Because then you'll see the power of God in you. Whenever you think you can do some things, and then God, you come and help me along with this one, but I got the next one. When you just say, Lord, you know what? All of it belongs to you. Then you can see God work through you in a mighty way. So verse 4 again. Into verse 4, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Know means to know, to recognize. It means to recognize, to know, to be aware of. So all of those words that's for knowing the voice of the shepherd are the same words you can use for knowing the voice of the stranger. You can know it, recognize it, be aware of. One, you're going to recognize, know, and be aware of the voice of the shepherd and follow. And then you'll know, recognize, and be aware of the voice of the stranger and run and flee from him. Let's go back. Hebrews chapter 4. So this sword, the living word of God, the active word of God, the powerful word of God, the energized, operative word, effective word of God, penetrates as far as the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And here's the title of this series. And is able to judge, analyze, expose, sift through. That's what that word judge means. I'm not sure what King James has. Discerner. King James has discern of the thoughts. The word means to judge, expose, sift, and analyze the thoughts. Wow, That's a thorough word when it comes to the operations and activity of the Word of God in the inner man, in particular the thoughts. It analyzes, it judges them, it sifts through them, it exposes them. How many want that from God? I know I do. Yeah. If you're truly born again, you want that. Expose my thoughts. Sift through them. Go through them. That's what you want. And as you go through that and letting the Lord sift through those thoughts, then guess what? That's where the real has to come in. When you tell you, man, this thought is terrible. This is another one. That one's okay. You know, he get all kind of columns for you. This is an okay column. This is a good one. This is a God good thought, and this is a devilized thought. So when he tells you, because he analyzes, he sifts through, he judges, and he exposes, then we need to say, yes, Lord. I need to tighten that up. I need to fix that. I can do better there. Remember, the Word of God didn't just say just get rid of the sins. He's been dealing with the word weight. Rid of the weights and the sins. So you just can't say, well, that's the sin. No big deal. And the Lord knew we would think that, because we're always trying to get away with how much we can get away with. Yes. Keep 1 foot on God's side and just trying to tip on the world's side. He's saying, get rid of the weights and sins. Sins, you know, but weights can be tricky, because weights vary per individual. What's a weight for you may not be a weight for me. What's a weight for you may not be a weight for your own daughter in the same household. It varies by individual. So I love the Spirit, which is all inclusive, saying get rid of the weight. So then now we got to hear the Holy Spirit. Is this a weight? When he tells you stop doing this, start doing this instead of that. That's him sifting and analyzing and exposing and judging our thoughts. And by the way, the thoughts, the word thoughts, having here, the hidden thoughts of the heart, which only God knows. Nobody knows what you're thinking. That's why we think we're getting away with lustful thoughts, hateful thoughts, murderous thoughts, vengeful thoughts, haterade thoughts, envious thoughts, backbiting thoughts. How many times are we sinning with our mind without ever speaking a word in one day before God? You're talking about sinning against Z. Every ungodly, unbiblical thought is a sin against God. Every sin is a sin against God. But you know that one is, because nobody even heard it. But God sees all the thoughts. This can be a very scary series, because it's a peek inside of us. And sometimes the inside of us is quite ugly. Although the outside is nice and calm. One of the great teachings that the Lord brought upon us was peace, the peacemaker series in Matthew chapter 5. And we found out that just because there is an absence of conflict, listen to that, absence of conflict, does not mean that there is real peace going on. Case in point, you can walk into a home, husband and wife, ain't getting along. Maybe just finish arguing. You can walk into the home and just feel the negativity. But there's no physical conflict, no conflict going on. But truly, there's no peace. You follow me? So just because there's an absence of conflict doesn't mean that there's peace. I say that to say this. Just because you look calm on the outside, peaceful on the outside, there's a war raging on the inside. And God knows all the haterade, murderous, envious thoughts that you're thinking about your coworker who just did something that you didn't like. When you accept this teaching, you're truly living for the Lord. Because here, folks don't know your thoughts. But if you dare to allow the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to judge, analyze, sift through, and expose those thoughts, then you're turning that corner where you're living only for God. You're not worried about accolades from the world. Because your heart will say, man, you saying that about me, but I know what's really wrong. So you don't say, oh, thank you. Oh, wow. You're not so taken aback by those compliments and accolades they're giving you, because all they're seeing is just their external. And on the other hand, once you do understand this, you almost got to fight being rude. But like, really? I know me better than you. But you can kind of say, thank you, but Lord, I know what's going on. He sifts, analyzes, exposes, and judges our thoughts, the hidden thoughts of the heart, which only God knows and discerns. And not only that, the intentions of the heart, your motivations, your intentions, why you do what you do. It sifts and analyzes, discerns, judges, and exposes your motives and intentions. I don't know about you, but I want that. I want to know why I do what I do. I want to know why I feel some type of way on certain things. Especially when you don't like feeling that way. Well, Lord, why did that get under my skin? So help me. Because I don't like that. Because when that happens, then all these thoughts on the inside that are not godly rise up in me. And that's, I don't like that. And Father God, I know you don't like that. And then you're causing me to not like this. So thank you, Lord. Now let's walk it out and let's get rid of it. And he'll walk that out. And again, that's different for every single different person. It's not enough to be satisfied with covering up the inside, the inner man, with chocolate, if you will, or vanilla on the outside, looking all calm and smooth and rosy. Let's not be content with that. Let's never stop. Let's never settle. And I'd rather you to be rude when you're in a some type of mood and somebody give you a compliment like, man, that ain't right, that ain't true, I ain't that. Now get out of here, you know. I'd rather you to say that and go repent about that than instead of then take that and let that cause you to feel better? Oh, Lord, no. Because you haven't dealt with the inside yet. Remember, the root of all you are out here is in here. The dandelion that's above ground, you got the dandelion, and then above ground comes the flower, but everything started down here. We just seen the result of it. Now, dandelions don't have the ability to lie and fake and like we do. So whatever it produces from the root is what comes out. But us, we have the ability to be deceitful. And Father God, help us to stop it. Help us to be honest with ourselves. As your word judges, analyzes, sifts through, and exposes the very thoughts of our heart that only you know, and our motives. And help us to live real with ourselves before you. Because living a fake life, even when we think we're getting away with it, even we think we're fooling majority of the people, they're not our God. Amen. They don't know our hearts. Help us to never, ever, ever, ever be content with accolades in the face of your Holy Spirit telling us just the opposite. Externally, we're looking real good. Oh, you're a good person. You're a nice person. You're kind. You're this, that, and the other. Inside, you know the Lord just dealt with you 5 minutes ago about being murderous and judging and hateful and spiteful, envious. Help us to accept the ugly when the Word of God exposes it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.